Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you for tuning in. You can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And also, I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email. My email address is saturdayswithjoykeys@hotmail.com. Questions, comments, concerns, just feel free to shoot me an email. I really encourage you to follow because I'll be giving away some books today, also an iTunes gift card, so you want to become a fan on Facebook or follow on Twitter to find out how to win those items. But I wanted to have this show today because February is National Children's Dental Health Month, and we're here to try to remind parents that their children can avoid cavities. A balanced diet, limiting snacks, brushing and flossing each day, and regular dental checkups are the keys to a lifetime of healthy teeth and gums. And along with me today, I have a special guest brought to me by the ADA, the American Dental Association. He's an expert, Dr. Jonathan Shimkin. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. We were talking right before about why did you become a dentist, because it's not, to me, it doesn't seem so glamorous looking inside of people's mouths. Why don't you tell the audience why you made that decision?
Well, to keep it brief, I had a bad experience as a child with dentistry, and I thought as I grew up and had better experiences that I would become the dentist that would help kids have pleasant and fun experiences, and that's what I try to do every day.
So, you know, it's usually really scary when people talk about the dentist. How do you help children relax when they come to the office? What are some things that you do?
Well, we just try to make things as fun as possible for kids when they come to a pediatric dentist. Our office design is much different than a general dentist would have. We have a lot of TVs and video games, and we try to make the environment just seem much more kid-oriented so the clinical experience is far different, and kids feel like they're in an almost like an amusement park kind of setting. And then we do things that we try to do more distraction techniques with kids so that they're not focused entirely on the kind of treatment that may be necessary if they are going to get treatment, and just make it a much more pleasant and non-scary and threatening experience.
So let's start with the basics about teeth. When do you start cleaning your child's teeth? I mean, you know, kids aren't born with teeth. I guess there are some children who are, but, you know, when they get one, two, three, when do you actually start flossing, or when do you start brushing? When they have the first tooth, do you start, or do you wait? What's your suggestion?
Well, it's really important to realize, first of all, that teeth are susceptible to tooth decay as soon as they come into the mouth. It's really important to assure that they are clean the moment they start erupting into the mouth, because they will collect plaque and bacteria and sugars that enter the mouth. So early on, you're not necessarily going to be brushing teeth with a toothbrush, but just using a damp cloth or a piece of gauze to remove plaque and debris is all you really need to do. No toothpaste is required early on. And then we recommend that starting at the age of two that parents start using a very small amount, a pea size amount or less, of fluoride toothpaste on a toothbrush and brushing twice a day. Flossing isn't really possible until all the teeth have erupted into the mouth, and sometimes it's a little dangerous for parents to start sticking their fingers in early on. But when kids start turning around 3 years of age, it's easy to use like a pre-flossed flossers, the ones that are on little plastic attachments, and getting in there and start flossing.
Now, you mentioned fluoride toothpaste. Why fluoride? What's the importance of fluoride, and how does that help protect the teeth?
Well, fluoride does a few things in order to protect the teeth. We used to think years ago that ingesting fluoride was what was protecting teeth, because it would actually combine with the developing enamel, and that's still considered somewhat part of the effectiveness of fluoride, but most of the effect of fluoride really is its contact with the surface of the tooth. And so when you brush your teeth twice a day with a fluoride toothpaste, what it does is it helps remineralize the tooth, it helps strengthen the tooth, and it also slows down the growth of the bacteria in your mouth that are bad for you. So it functions in more than one way in the mouth. And it's really important to realize that if you you don't brush twice a day with fluoride toothpaste, you're at much greater risk for tooth decay. One of the things that we often hear from parents is that, well, we just brush once a day. It's really important you have to brush twice a day, because the kids that don't are the ones that are at much greater risk for developing tooth decay at an early age.
Is there a certain way you should brush? Because some people like do up and down or sideways, or like flick the toothbrush from the gum downward. What's the proper technique for brushing the teeth?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, the complicated thing I want to go to first is who should be brushing the teeth. Because we're talking about at the earliest age possible, we want to start having parents brush children's teeth for them. We don't want really children being in charge of that activity. And we know that, you know, when children are 2 years of age, they want to be in charge of everything. And it's okay to have kids start brushing, but you'll notice that a lot of kids really just want to brush the front teeth and go nowhere else. So it's okay to have kids sort of start the process themselves, but it's important for parents to really do the brushing. You know, and at the age of two, it's going to be really hard to have any kind of really great technique in there. But the goal at that point really is to get as far back as possible to the last molar in the mouth and make sure you get as much of the plaque or all of the plaque off as possible on the top and the bottom. You know, and it's really very important that parents do not brush their children's teeth because they don't like it. There are a number of parents that come by and say, we don't brush well or often because Johnny doesn't like it. Unfortunately,
the parents actually come to you and say that the child who's two or three doesn't like it, so they're not going to brush their child's teeth?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's disheartening.
It is. Because tooth decay is one of the most common chronic diseases of childhood. It's five times more common than asthma, and yet we know how to prevent it. And whenever I have kids come into my office and we discuss how their child had tooth decay, there's always an answer. There's no mystery behind how they didn't have tooth decay or didn't develop tooth decay. What's important is just focusing on the basics for parents in improving oral health for their children. And the essentials are simply brushing your child's teeth twice a day with a fluoride toothpaste starting at the age of two, ensuring that there's a limitation on the consumption of sugars on a daily basis, because we think of sugar in a much different way than people do when we talk about obesity.
Also soda and juice have sugar. And I know one of the things the doctors or pediatricians, not just dentists, I'm sure, is that leaving juice in the bottles, leaving the bottle in the baby's mouth, you know, while sleeping and things, is that true that that's a bad idea, yes?
Oh, any kind of beverage with sugar in it is going to cause harm to children's teeth. And particularly when they're sleeping, because when all of us wake up in the morning, we know we've got, you know, a drier mouth because our saliva flow is basically shut off at nighttime. And saliva works as a buffer of sugars. So at night, if you give your child a bottle with juice or with soda or any bad kind of sugary beverage, the risk of them developing tooth decay skyrockets through the roof. In fact, those are the kids that we see most often with really severe cases of tooth decay. The other thing is that if you give your child a sippy cup all day or even for hours during the day with juice in it, that increases their risk of tooth decay dramatically. And the reason for it is when you have even small amounts of sugar in your mouth, every time you take in a little bit of sugar, the bacteria in your mouth digests those sugars, which then converts that sugar into acid, which then attacks the tooth. So that even if you take juice and you water it down, it actually is still harmful. It's still harmful, and in some cases, even more harmful, because you sometimes extend the amount of time your child is consuming that same amount of juice, that original amount of juice.
Let's talk about Dr. Shen. I just want to move on before our time runs out. Let's talk a little bit about the grinding issue. That's an issue sometimes children have, grinding. Mm. Why are children grinding their teeth, and what can be done about it? When they come to a dentist's office?
That is one of the most common concerns that I hear from parents, is that they hear grinding at night, and it is one of the most horrible noises. I mean, it sounds like nails on a chalkboard. We generally aren't concerned about grinding issues with children at an early age unless there's really severe wear of the enamel of the teeth. There are very few cases where you actually grind the teeth down so far that you can actually see the nerves of the teeth. In fact, you know, I've only seen a couple of cases in my career of that severity. So we generally don't do anything at that stage. If it continues into adulthood, which it doesn't generally do, if it continues into adulthood when the adult teeth have erupted, we generally don't make any recommendations until the child is older, simply because what we would do is make a plastic night guard that would be worn at night by the adolescent or teenager. If you do it early, if you do it too early, what you do is you actually restrict growth of the mandible, the jaws of the mouth, and that's something that we have to avoid. So we really can't fabricate any kind of appliance for children until their growth and development has stopped. And so for girls, that would be 16; boys, that would be 18. So for the most part, we're not concerned as long as we know that there's very limited damage to the teeth from the grinding.
There generally
is very limited damage to teeth from grinding at that.
It just sounds worse than it really is.
Absolutely, it really sounds awful, but the harm to the teeth is generally pretty mild to moderate.
How about dental sealants? Should all kids get dental sealants, or only certain kids? I mean, why should, and are there different types that parents might ask about?
Yeah, Joy, that is like one of the best questions you can ask about children's oral health. Dental sealants are probably one of the best services that we can provide to children in this country. What they do basically is we're concerned about the biting surface of erupting adult first molars, which come in at the age of 6 or so on children.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
that tooth tends to be the most decayed tooth in the mouth. So if you look at adults nationally, and you look at what tooth has had the most decay in it, the adult first molar is the tooth that has gotten the most decay, and it's generally on the biting surface of the tooth. And what we do with the dental sealant is we actually place a little piece of liquid plastic that hardens on the biting surface of the tooth, and what that does is it closes up all the little grooves that you can see on that biting surface of the tooth. And that prevents bacteria and food from getting in there, which with even a good toothbrusher, you can't get the food and bacteria out of some of the teeth. And that dramatically reduces tooth decay in these teeth. It's an incredibly cost-effective and important tool for parents to ask for.
Does it last on the tooth? I mean, how you put it on, does it last for months, a day? Does it sink in? How long does it last, and how often would you have to get it replaced for the child?
Also, very good question. What studies have shown is they last about 5 to 7 years, and that even if they fall off eventually, if you look at the tooth microscopically, there are still microscopic sealant in the grooves of the teeth, helping prevent tooth decay over time. So we generally say it should be done at the age of 6 or so, to ensure that those teeth don't decay early on. And then later on in life, if someone feels like they want to have a touch-up of their sealants or so, that's fine. But they should last 5 to 7 years. And these are the real critical time periods for making sure that they don't develop decay.
Let me ask you about fillings, because there's a big debate in the media and people are wondering what type of fillings they should get if, unfortunately, they have to get fillings in their child's tooth and the side effects. What does the ABA suggest? Is there any difference? Talk to us a little bit about the issue of fillings.
And you're referring to silver fillings, amalgam fillings,
white fillings? Yes.
Well, you know, amalgam fillings have been used for well over 100 years internationally, and they're still a fantastic tool to be used. You know, one of the things about silver fillings is that they don't really when you're placing them, if there's any saliva contamination, if there's any moisture, it really doesn't affect the longevity of the filling. However, with white fillings, if you have any saliva contamination or moisture that gets in while you're trying to place the restoration, it actually reduces the life of that filling. And for children, it can actually be quite difficult if trying to manage saliva flow, because kids are squirmy and They can have a hard time with suction that we use, and so the decision really comes down to a conversation between parents and dentists about what's the most appropriate material for their child at that time. And then parents should have that conversation with their dentists to see what they feel.
And how often do you need to replace them? I mean, fillings don't last forever. So if a child gets a filling at the age of 10, is it 10 years down the line that they need to think about getting it done again, or is it 5 years?
What it really depends on is the size of the filling the conditions under which they were placed. And so it's hard to give you an exact time period or time frame of how long. So some fillings last for 30 or 40 years without replacement. And so it's hard to say exactly. I actually had a silver filling placed in one of my adult teeth when I was a kid, and it's still there. And that's, 30 plus years ago.
Wow.
So, there's a lot of good materials out there that will last many, many years.
So
but like I said, it's a conversation that you should have with your dentist.
Okay, so it's on an individual basis. Another thing kids do a lot is play sports, and a lot of accidents happen when they're playing sports. Let's talk about mouth guards and getting fitted for a mouth guard and, the use of mouth guards. Talk to the audience about that a little bit.
And then that's, one of the things that we see most in adolescence is trauma from activities, and I'm glad to say, at least the patient base that I see, a lot of the kids are using mouth guards, and the injuries are mostly from non-sports activities that they're involved in. But every time a child comes in the office, we always ask about involvement in sports and athletics. And it's important to know, because we want children to be using mouth guards, because anything that can involve contact between a child and another child, or a child and some sort of something on the field, we want them to be wearing a mouth guard to prevent possibility of trauma to their adult teeth. So it's really important. And there's different options out there. The inexpensive option is the boil and bite mouth guards that you can buy in stores, where you actually place the mouth guard in hot water and then you bite on it. And they're less expensive than the ones that we make in our office, because we have pretty high, the laboratory fees are fairly high for us. The difference, of course, is that the ones that we make in office are very high quality and fit really well compared to the ones that you buy in the store. But choosing one is important, and for parents to have it, because the costs for damage and trauma are significant for children. And so very important for children that are playing sports to have those.
One of the big issues with dental or going to see the dentist is the issue of insurance, and some insurance don't cover this or that. I just wanted to mention to the audience, I'll be posting, there's some free dental clinics in the Pennsylvania area, and across the country there are free dental clinics in different states, so that if you don't have insurance, there are places that you can go to get a free checkup. And also, I've also found some places that give sealants. And they have certain days where they could do sealants on teeth for free. So I want to post those. I'll be posting those on Twitter and Facebook for people to find out about that. Because, again, starting early, helping your child with their dental care is important, because it can help going into adulthood. And we're not talking really about adults, but just to mention quickly, I know that the issue of caring for your teeth as an adult also deals with, like, heart disease. Gum disease has a connection with heart disease. That's correct, Dr. Schenken?
Well, and just if I could also throw in there that this is the 10th anniversary of Giving Kids a Smile, where for 10 years now, dentists have been providing free dental services to millions of children at this time of year. And there are opportunities for kids during the year. Federally qualified health centers provide care with sliding fee scales to families that don't qualify for Medicaid. Most pediatric dentists out in the United States see Medicaid children. And there are thousands of general dentists that are doing the same as well. The important thing for parents to know is that the most effective way of preventing children from having lots of tooth decay as an adult is for them not to have lots of tooth decay as a child. Preventing disease early will guarantee much healthier mouth for the rest of your life, and that's the best way to ensure good oral health, is to not have disease in the first place. And like we discussed earlier, in terms of reducing exposure to sugar and brushing twice a day with a fluoride toothpaste, those are the essentials, the basic essentials early on to ensure good oral health throughout life.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Shankin. I mean, really, I know as a kid, I know I probably didn't brush my teeth as much as I should have, so I do have some cavities. I won't say how many, but anyway, I want to have a show so that, you know, parents, you always have opportunity. Today, if you weren't brushing your teeth as often, your child's teeth as often, today's the day to start, you know, at least twice a day, Dr. Shankin is saying. One real quick question. What about rinsing with, like, Listerine, having your kids rinse with Listerine or some kind of mouthwash? Is that helpful? Should they even be doing that? Is that harmful? Just that real quick comment about that.
You know, relying on recommendations from the Centers for Disease Control, we kind of lean towards children not rinsing with fluoride mouth rinse until about the age of 6 or so, simply because they swallow it. And so we want to reduce their risk of swallowing too much fluoride. And that's why we recommend only using a pea-sized amount of toothpaste on the fluoride, on a toothbrush to reduce the amount of fluoride that kids are ingesting. Parents do not need to put a whole big glob of fluoride toothpaste on a toothbrush because that's just way too much.
Way too much. But yeah, they will swallow it. I have a child and she's older now, but yes, I do remember her like trying to, it tastes good. And then if you get like the flavor kind, they're like, oh, yum, yum, yum. But thank you so much, Dr. Shankin, for coming on today. And I want to thank the ADA for, you know, bringing you to me. Again, remember, try to brush your children's teeth twice a day. Talk with your doctor, your dentist about the dental sealant, so excellent way of protecting the child. They last for a very long time. And in terms of our fillings, you know, that's a big controversy, but that's done on an individual basis. Talk with your dental provider about what's best for your child and their situation at the time. Again, thank you so much, Dr. Shankin, for coming on this morning.
Thank you, Joy, for having me.
Have a wonderful Saturday.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. Just got off the phone with Dr. Shankin. He brought to me by the American Dental Association. Thank you very much for that. And February is National Children's Dental Health Month, and this is the month, but every month should be a month to take care of your child's teeth. So just try to remember flossing twice a day. I'm sorry, brushing twice a day, you know, flossing when they start getting, you know, a bunch of teeth in, doing their checkups. They don't need to do the mouthwash like Listerine. Dr. Shankin said maybe not until about 6 or 7 because they might swallow it. If they start playing sports in elementary school, remember to get them a mouth guard. And also talk to your dentist about dental sealants. It's an excellent way of protecting their teeth. Have a wonderful Saturday. Follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys. Become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And also send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Stay tuned. 11:30, love, inshallah. Wow, the secret love lives of American Muslim women. Very interesting show coming up. You want to call in 646-929-0368. And also you can just listen on your phone. You can listen on your telephone to the show by calling that number. Even if you don't have a question, you can just listen. Okay, have a wonderful Saturday. Thank you for tuning in.